What's up, fellas? It's Bush here. We have tons of tools to get you ready to smoke your buffoon league mates in our redraft rankings manifesto. Whether you're looking for our consensus tiered-based rankings, top 200s, and by position, fantasy football news blurbs to keep you informed and find this year's Puka Nacua, risk ratings so you know how risky the draft picks you're spending are, the truth series so you can see how their 2023 season went, or you can compare our rankings to Sleeper, to ESPN, to Underdog, to Yahoo, to NFL, whichever platform you're drafting on, we have you covered this year with our Redraft Rankings Manifesto. Right now, you can get our draft guide for free by signing up on Underdog Fantasy using just $10 and using code FSE. If you already have an Underdog account or you can't play where you live, you can also head to flockfantasy.com. Use the code FSE for a 7-day free trial, 30% off any of the packages, and all of that is linked in the description of all of our videos if you need the links for that. All right, let's roll the pod. If you guys have a late first round pick in your fantasy football drafts this year, this is the video for you. Picks 9 to 12, not a great spot to draft from this year, but we are going to do our best to showcase you guys exactly what we would be doing at this area of the draft, the tier breaks, the value pockets, the positions that we're targeting, the draft strategies overall that we are employing. Should be a very fun video, especially because this one is such a divisive topic this year. Picks 1 to 8, we kind of know that first round pick is going to be one of those top 8 overall players. This year, that picks 9 to 12 range, a lot of variance, a lot of different directions you can go. Like I said, we'll detail kind of what's best, hero, zero, double hero, RB, and that kind of thing.
Yeah, and in this range, like if you guys are having your derby order right now and you get to choose your own draft slots, these should be the last 4 picks off the board. Because like we mentioned when we went through the 5 to 8 and we went through the 1 to 4 strategy videos, it's almost like the first round this year is kind of tiered into the top 3 players, then the 4 to 8 players kind of in all their tier. You know, your Ja'Marr Chase, your Amon-Ra St. Brown, Bijan Robinson, Breece Hall, and of course, Justin Jefferson. After that range, once you get to 9th overall, again, we personally have 2 favorites that we like at 9th and 10th, which we'll go into in this video, but it becomes a wild, wild west. Not everybody is going to have the same type of rankings, which makes this fun.
Yeah, not to mention you also have to kind of reach on your second round pick. At the 3rd round, you might miss out on some tier breaks. So overall, if you're taking anything away from this video so far, it's not a great spot to be drafting from. So we're going to get into our top 36 rankings and kind of detail the tier breaks and kind of the players that we like here. All right, so as we've done throughout this entire video series, you can see our updated top 36 rankings on the board. Of course, all of our rankings are available in our draft guide link down below for that. But you're obviously going to miss out on CeeDee Lamb, Tyreek Hill, Christian McCaffrey. As we talked about, obviously, best case scenario, one of Breece Hall, Bijan Robinson, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson falls to you, especially if you're talking picks 9 to 10. They wouldn't fall beyond that point. And we're going to start with kind of picks 9 to 10, the strategy that we're talking about through the first 3 rounds here. But more than likely, you're going to be looking at Garrett Wilson, AJ Brown, Jahmyr Gibbs, Marvin Harrison Jr., or Puka Nacua. That is the tier that we have labeled as late first. For us specifically, both of us are in agreement that Garrett Wilson is the top of this tier, AJ Brown the second highest in this tier, and those are the two guys we would personally select 9th or 10th overall, assuming the board kind of went chalk to that point.
And this is why we do have this video segmented with picks 9 and 10 and picks 11 and 12, is that we do prefer Garrett Wilson to AJ Brown to the field. Again, you can make arguments for Gibbs, you can make arguments for Marvin Harrison, you can make arguments for Puka Nacua. I would feel comfortable taking those guys in the 11 and 12 portion, but for me personally, I cannot do it over Garrett Wilson, AJ Brown with what we know now.
Yeah, and of course, if you're at pick 11, pick 12, one of these guys fall to you, obviously you would go ahead and take them. But the real part of why this part of the board is actually not great to draft from, in my opinion, is actually what happens in round 2 and 3, not what happens in round 1. Because I think you could actually make the argument that Garrett Wilson, AJ Brown, some of these guys may even have better seasons than like Justin Jefferson, who just lost his 10th overall pick quarterback. But in the second round, I do think it's a relatively flat tier when you're talking about this early to mid seconds range. Drake London, Saquon Barkley, Nico Collins, Devon Achane, Jonathan Taylor, Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, and Jalen Waddles, who we have ranked in that area. The only issue is that the ADP is kind of all over the place, to the point that even if you're picking picks 1 to 4, you're going to get one of these guys more than likely falling back to you in the second round. Whereas in the 9 to 12 range, you're having to take the top of this tier, which is kind of not the biggest difference between the guys at the back of this tier.
Like, how many times, if you guys watched the 1 to 4 and the 5-day strategy videos when we were in the mock draft, were we able to get Devon Achane in the second round? Were we able to get Jalen Waddle in the 3rd round? Like, the fact that the end of this tier can be had so much later with those 1 to 4, 5 to 8 picks versus not really getting a big advantage by getting the top of this tier with, you know, London, Barkley. As much as I like Nico Collins, I do view him as a big part of this tier. There's eight names there for a reason, man. You could really pick your flavor on each of these guys, so you don't want to be the first one to take them.
Yeah, and I think the best case scenario for you if you're picking 9 to 12 is that you can land two of the late first guys. Like, let's say you take Garrett Wilson at 9, and in the second round, Puka Nacua falls back to you. That would be the best case scenario, obviously. Then you're able to secure two kind of like tier breaks, quote unquote. But for the most part, in sharper leagues, you're not going to get access to a Puka Nacua in the second round or something like that. So you're probably more likely starting with one wide receiver, one running back. And to me, that's probably the best way to start out your draft in most home leagues that have, you know, two wide receiver, one flex, or two wide receiver, two flex, half or full PPR or standard. To me, I would love to start my draft at 9 to 10 with Garrett Wilson. And then in the second round, grab Saquon Barkley, Devon Achane, Jonathan Taylor. That's kind of how I would like to start my draft. Of course, if Jahmyr Gibbs falls to you, that's even better. But for the most part, that's what you would probably be looking at. And then in the third round, you guys can see that we have these like mid to late third round guys here. Devontae Smith, DJ Moore, Sam Laporta, DK Metcalf, Jalen Hurts, and Josh Allen. These guys, again, are tier breaks to the 2-3 turn pick. So maybe, again, you get lucky and at the 9 spot, you grab Garrett Wilson. At the, you know, second round pick, Jahmyr Gibbs falls back to you. And then all the way into the third round, one of those 2-3 turn picks guys falls to you. That would be best case scenario, but we're kind of preparing for doomsday here. And that's why if you prepare for doomsday, you're obviously pleasantly surprised if doomsday doesn't come to fruition and you can draft a better team than we think. But again, we play in sharper home leagues. People generally know what they're doing. You're probably not getting these like obscene values in round 2 and 3 if you're picking at that 9-10 hole. So as far as like overall strategy, Danny, what do you think is the best kind of strategy? Me, I look at this and I think it's going to be hero RB because you secure yourself one running back with either of your first two picks. And then in the third round, you're most likely going to miss Isaiah Pacheco, Travis Etienne, Kyren Williams, Devon Achane, those type of guys that we love at the 2-3 turn area. So you're probably more likely looking at a wide receiver with that selection, maybe a Malik Nabers, Devontae Smith, somebody like that.
Yeah, the quick note I will make, the just doing the math. So we're talking about the opportunity bundles, the packages that you can make in the second and third versus some of the earlier slots. Well, if you're doing the math and your second round pick is the same, whether you take London or Waddle, whoever gets him at like, let's say 208, 209, but you're also missing out on that 2-3 turn pick area because all those guys are off the board. It's just left in a situation where you're getting a similar tier player with your second round pick, but you are left holding the bag in the third round, assuming Nabers, Adams, Evans up all are off the board. But you mentioned certain strategy at this spot, and I would agree. It's tough because typically looking at the running back range, you would want at least one in the first two rounds. But in the ideal strategy from these picks, from the 9 to 12 spot, quite simply, like you said, if you can do a hero running back build, if you can build around one of those stud wide receivers or Jahmyr Gibbs with your first round pick, wrap around, get a guy like, if you started Jahmyr Gibbs, maybe a Nico Collins or maybe a Drake London, somebody like that, or vice versa. If you're able to start with a wide receiver in that pick, let's just say you're at the 9th or 10th pick and Garrett Wilson or AJ Brown is your selection. At that point, maybe a Saquon Barkley falls back, although in more casual rooms, maybe he goes a little bit higher. More than likely, though, the name that I would be willing to take at that spot would be Devon Achane, because quite frankly, I'm looking at a duo of Garrett Wilson and Devon Achane. And when you ask the question, can these two win me my league? I absolutely think that to be the case.
Yeah, and again, micro player takes are going to differ for all of us. Maybe you prefer Jonathan Taylor, sure, Isaiah Pacheco, Kyren Williams, Travis Etienne to Devon Achane. We're just personally higher on Devon Achane, which is why we're okay taking him in the early second round. But again, 9 and 10, I would say of the four selections we have here in this picks 9 to 12 strategy are the best two for sure, because you secure, yeah, Garrett Wilson, AJ Brown, and there's also a chance that Gibbs or somebody like that does fall back to you and you could actually have a nice advantageous start to your draft. However, the absolute worst spot to pick from this year is 11 and 12, in my opinion.
I think it's 11 straight up. The reason why is because with 12, at least you get the benefit of taking two of those late first guys. With 11, more than likely, you're having to reach on the board at the early to mid second versus the 12th guy getting the last of that tier. And you're also getting the disadvantage of picking late. So if someone were to ask me, like, what is the worst pick in fantasy football this year, based off of how we have it tiered out, I do think it's the 11th overall pick.
Yeah, not to mention our 11th overall player, Jahmyr Gibbs, is suffering from a hamstring injury currently, too. Yeah. So that definitely also doesn't... We haven't moved him down because it sounds like, by all accounts, he'll be back in time for the start of the season. I'm not overly worried about it, but it does weaken this area of the board that was already weak to begin with. Same goes for Puka Nacua, who's dealing with an injury. Of course, Marvin Harrison's a rookie, so there's a lot of inherent risk here. The worst spot to pick from is anywhere that you cannot secure two of the late first-round area guys. And it, like you said, it's going to usually be 11th overall.
Yeah. 100%. In terms of the third round, like you said, if you can grab, I mean, sometimes in some of these mock drafts you'll see on Sleeper, you know, the quarterbacks do go off the board earlier, but if you can grab your hands on a Jalen Hurts or you can grab your hands on a Travis Kelce, Sam LaPorta, I really do think there's viability because, again, in Sleeper rather than Underdog, it's easier to catch back up at wide receiver. So if you're going to be weak overall picking from the 9 to 12 spot versus your league mates, you may as well get that positional advantage at a onesie position that they won't be able to compete with. So the way I kind of view this spot is if they're going to be stronger at running back or if they're going to be stronger at wide receiver, grabbing an anchor at quarterback or tight end is your way to differentiate from them.
Yeah, not to mention, I would say if you do decide to deploy a zero RB type of format here, you could start your draft hypothetically with, like, let's say Marvin Harrison, Puka Nacua at the 12 spot. And then in the third round, let's say Kelce and Mahomes are there. And you can take both of those guys to anchor your quarterback and your tight end core. I think you can build out a pretty viable zero RB from this area of the board. It's just not ideal because you're going to miss all of the major tier breaks at wide receiver and at running back. So you're not really getting the best of any position in the flex spots. Like, you're getting the best of the quarterbacks and tight ends most of the time. As we said, you usually can get one of those top four quarterbacks, Hurts, Allen, Mahomes, or Jackson, or one of the top two tight ends, Travis Kelce or Sam LaPorta. And if you can get both, obviously that makes it viable for zero RB. But generally speaking, this is just a suboptimal area of the board because you're missing a lot of those tier breaks at running back and at wide receiver. So it makes your strategy in the mid rounds a little more challenging. Maybe you get lucky and you get two of these 2-3 turn picks that fall back to you at the 3-4 turn. It's definitely possible based on ESPN's, you know, rankings and Yahoo's rankings and Sleeper's rankings. They're going to differ from ours to a decent degree. But at the same time, you don't want to count on that. You want to be happy and grateful when it happens, but you're preparing for the doomsday scenario, and the doomsday scenario looks pretty bad from the 1-2 turn.
100%. I mean, at the end of the day, when you're doing your mock drafts, when you're preparing for your drafts, preparing for the worst and hoping for the best is the way to approach it, because quite frankly, just getting comfortable with, oh, this guy's always going to make it back to this pick, or, oh, I can always take this guy at this spot. Man, when bullets are flying in the chamber of your fantasy drafts, you have to be ready to adapt on the spot. So that's why we always say not to go inherently saying, I'm going to go zero running back, I'm going to go hero running back, I'm going to go double hero running back going into your draft, because you want all these tools. You want to be able to deploy all these tools based off what your other league mates are doing. And quite frankly, we mentioned, you know, 5-8 is at the mercy of the draft board overall in your fantasy drafts. 9-12 absolutely is as well, because you quite frankly don't know which way to approach it based off how your league's valuing in the first 8 picks.
Yeah, and as far as overall strategy, I think it's probably suboptimal to do double hero from the back end of the board. Agreed. To go Jahmyr Gibbs and Jonathan Taylor, for example, just because I think the wide receiver projections, I would want one of them. I think they're you can't tell me that both of those running back projections are better than both wide receiver projections on the board. So to me, if you're going to go with a specific structure, a specific strategy, it probably is going to line up in a way that both hero and zero RB are probably the two best approaches that you can take at this end of the board. But again, you could always run a modified hero, double hero as well. Like, let's say, for example, you start your draft at 11, you take Jahmyr Gibbs with your first pick, and in the second round, you take Marvin Harrison Jr., and James Cook is there in the fourth round at your early fourth round pick. You could maybe do a modified double hero at that point in time. But again, we'll get into all of that stuff during the actual mock drafts. The really important part of this video basically is like kind of getting an idea and the sense of the tier breaks based on our top 36 rankings. And then we'll go through our own kind of individual micro player takes in the mock draft. So Danny, let's get into the mock draft. The first one, as we always do, we're going to do a shallow mock draft to start. For those of you guys who play in leagues, that's half PPR, two wide receiver, one flex leagues. We'll have you covered in that first mock. I'll be picking from 9, Danny from 12. And then the second mock, we'll be picking from 10 and 11, respectively, in a little bit more of a deeper format that's a little bit more conducive to maybe a zero RB type of build or a zero RB type of team. So let's get into that first mock draft. All right, so we are now into the mock draft. Like I said, these are the rules on the screen right now. You can see two running back, two wide receiver, one flex, one tight end, one quarterback, half PPR. This is like pretty bog standard if you guys are in like Yahoo fantasy leagues or like ESPN fantasy leagues where it's friends and family, it's casuals, it's, you know, coworkers, things like that. We're going to show you our strategy in this type of format. Obviously, we probably don't want to deploy a zero RB in this type of format because it's not really conducive due to the lack of PPR and the lack of starting spots. But we'll kind of show you as we get throughout the draft. And I will, if one of the top 8 falls to me, I'm going to change the pick because I want to prepare for the worst case scenario. But of course, if any of these top 8 guys does fall, and one of them did, that would be best case scenario. If you guys are on the board and Breece Hall's there, you just run to the podium and you make that selection.
But especially again, in a half PPR shallow lineup.
Yeah, like that would probably never happen. So we're going to prepare for the worst case scenario. We're going to remove that Breece Hall selection. But of course, I would run to the podium and select Breece Hall if it was actually the case. Garrett Wilson's going to be my selection. He's my 9th overall player. I do have him and Justin Jefferson kind of almost in like a mini tier between the top seven and ahead of the rest of the first round, because him and Jefferson, to me, now that Jefferson's quarterback is down, are actually a lot closer than they would have been prior to that.
Yeah, for sure. Now I am on the clock here. And if you guys were paying attention to the graphic and specifically the point I made on 11th versus 12th overall, 12th overall, you are able to get the last two players of that tier, the late first round tier that we were able to show in that graphic. And those two players in this mock draft example are Jahmyr Gibbs and Puka Nacua. So it's funny, both following the same theme of being young second-year players, potentially taking a further step up after impressive rookie campaigns. But feel good, man. Again, that's the luxury of 12 versus 11, is that you're getting two of those guys versus, you see, at team 11, because he misses out on Puka, has to go and reach at Kyren Williams at that spot.
Yeah, and I'm going to pretty much have to do the same thing. Like I said, in this type of league format, that's not very conducive to like zero RB or whatever. If this was a three wide receiver, two flex, full PPR, I would just take Drake London, no questions asked. But I pretty much have to take a running back here because I'm going to get locked out if I don't. Even though I do prefer Drake London in a vacuum to Saquon Barkley, I'm going to take Saquon Barkley here to go along with my Garrett Wilson. And again, we'll see what falls back to us at the 3-4 turn, but you guys are going to see. And if you guys are picking from this area of the draft, you've probably noticed that you kind of miss out on those like 2-3 turn players more often than not. And we're seeing tight ends are off the board here. Even we do have some of the quarterbacks that are going to fall back to us. For me personally, I don't know about you, I would prefer to get those quarterbacks in round 4 than I would in round 3. I would rather take a wide receiver anchor, a running back anchor here if one falls to me. I don't get a running back that I would consider a 2-3 turn caliber guy like a Pacheco, a JT, an Achan, somebody like that. But there is James Cook on the board. I'm sure one of us will probably be taking him in the next round. I'm not going to take him yet. I'm going to go in the direction of a wide receiver because I'm sure you're mad about this, but Nico Collins did fall back to me, and he is a 2-3 turn wide receiver. So again, the 9 spot is definitely the best spot of this range to be picking from, because not only are you getting Garrett Wilson, who in my opinion is a slight tier ahead of the rest of these guys, you're also getting less of a reach on your second round pick because you're picking at the 2-4, and you might have a falling value from the 2-3 turn area of players, as we talked about in our tier list, like we see here with Nico Collins falling back to me. Not actually even a 2-3 turn pick. He's actually in our early to mid second range.
Yeah, for sure. And speaking of that range, I do see one of those players fall back to me with Malik Nabers, so that will for sure be my first pick. I'm also back on the clock here. And again, like you said, I could go with a James Cook. I could go potentially with like a Lamar Jackson if you guys want to grab your anchor quarterback here. If it had been, you know, Jalen Hurts or Patrick Mahomes, I'd be more willing to take him at this turn. But I'm a little bit more concerned about Lamar Jackson comparatively to those other three quarterbacks. So I'm actually going to lean. Do I want to grab a second running back now? Typically, I would grab two wide receivers in deeper setting formats, but knowing that I have James Cook rated relatively similarly to the other players on the board. Oh, wait, no, Cooper Kupp and Malik Nabers fell. Okay, I didn't realize Cooper Kupp was here. Nice.
Yeah, and I'm glad you passed on him because I am going to go Fair with pick. James Cook probably at my selection here. I mean, I guess in a vacuum, half PPR or full PPR, I probably prefer Devontae Smith and DJ Moore realistically to James Cook, but it's close enough that in this format where it's a little bit shallower at running back, I can run, as I talked about earlier on, a little bit of a modified double hero RB here, where James Cook, we believe in him on a micro player take level just because he's a young running back, 3 down upside. Obviously not a huge goal line touchdown type of dude, but he's only going into year 3. It's very possible that that role increases for him. Josh Allen had 15 rushing touchdowns last year. Not necessarily sure that that's going to keep up. So again, we are back on the clock, and ideally, in these type of formats where it's just two running backs, two wide receiver, one flex, you probably want to be stronger at the onesie positions than you would in other type of formats. So I actually have two really good onesie options on the board for me, either Kyle Pitts at tight end or Anthony Richardson at quarterback. I think Richardson, as we talked about in the other videos, it's a smidge early in like the 1-4 range where you're picking at the like early 5th round. But in this range of the draft, I do think Richardson's definitely viable. However, sure, I think Kyle Pitts is the better value. So I'm going to take Kyle Pitts. I believe we've taken Kyle Pitts in virtually every draft that we've done so far. But to me, he's just very clearly the best value at tight end because he has both elite upside and he's also a pretty safe-ish projection given the new quarterback and the new offensive coordinator that they have there.
And you considered Anthony Richardson at your last pick. I feel great knowing that this is a shallow lineup league, and I'm able to grab both Anthony Richardson and George Kittle on this turn. I feel good about that. Again, deeper lineup settings, I probably grab at least one other wide receiver to make sure I'm not behind the eight ball. But if I'm going to employ a hero running back strategy, I have to be good at the onesies in a shallow league format. So grabbing Anthony Richardson, grabbing George Kittle again, I'm lucky that both of them were able to make it to that turn.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great move there for you. I am back on the board here. I'm probably going to go in the direction of a wide receiver. Again, we still have to, like, I'm still wanting to fill out my flex spot here. Not in love with the board, but I do see, and again, we talked about this before, like Rashee Rice just, in my opinion, doesn't belong in this range of the board. So I'm going to take Rashee Rice as my third wide receiver. If people are hip to the fact that, you know, he's not going to get suspended, let's say a week or two after you guys are watching this, we know he's not going to get suspended, then he is going to go higher than this, because I have him ranked right around that, like, DJ Moore, Pittman, Devontae Smith, Metcalf range already. And if we know for sure he's not going to get suspended, he definitely belongs in that range, nowhere near the guys that he's going right now. Like a Rashee Rice, easily a healthy Rashee Rice, 17 game season from him, way better projection than Christian Kirk, Keenan Allen, Romo, Dunze, sure, those type of guys.
Yeah, we currently moved him up to a top 25 wide receiver in our rankings. And again, with the news of Hollywood Brown, you know, Rashee Rice, what he was able to do down the stretch last year, a legitimate wide receiver one in points per game once he was able to become a full-time player. I mean, since when are we getting a second-year Mahomes weapon at this cheap of a cost simply because of what happened this offseason?
Yeah, no, again, the further and closer we get to the start of the season, the less likely it looks that Rashee Rice is going to get suspended. That is direct quotes from Drew Davenport, who is an actual legal practicing lawyer, and he has done a lot of extensive research on this case, and you can follow him over on Twitter. He does great work there. I'm on the board here. I need a quarterback. Caleb Williams is my highest rated QB. Don't need to take him yet, though, because all three of you guys already have quarterbacks. So I'm going to take him with my next pick because there's no need for me to take him yet. And Jaden Reed, to me, feels like a decent tier break, especially in half PPR. I think Jaden Reed's a little underrated because I think people think, oh, slot receiver better in PPR, but Jaden Reed actually gets a fair amount of work on the ground as well, and through the rushing game. So I think half PPR is actually a sneaky good format for a guy like Jaden Reed.
Yeah, and this is my run to the podium pick. I have Jahmyr Gibbs. I'm running a hero running back, so I can potentially get another RB1 next to Jahmyr Gibbs if Jonathan Brooks stays healthy. So I feel great about that. I understood I waited at the running back two position, but yeah, it should be a slower start. And yeah, if this draft was longer, I would have to probably add some, you know, veteran, you know, fill gap type of players to fill my RB2 slot. But once Jonathan Brooks kicks into full gear week 4, week 5, and looks like healthy Jonathan Brooks coming off of that ACL tear, I mean, there's a legitimate possibility there's no flaws in my lineup. So I feel good about that. Wide receiver, like you said, could go with a Calvin Ridley, but I'm actually half PPR format. Again, I technically have JSN and Calvin Ridley as my highest two ranked players, but a guy that I've been moving up steadily based off what we've been hearing this offseason, half PPR, wanting to get some upside. And funny enough, I actually have his college teammate already on my team. I will take Brian Thomas Jr. here.
Yeah, no, I definitely think that's fair. You just double up on those LSU wide receivers. Amen. Definitely makes some sense there. I could go in the direction of a running back. Again, I didn't actually mention this at the top of this video, but if you watched the other ones, you guys would know that we're only doing early round draft strategy, so the rounds 1 to 8 range. And then we'll recap our draft, do the next draft there. Obviously, in the late rounds, you already kind of made reference to it. You'd be drafting a lot more running back profiles that are better early in the season, ambiguous backfields, rookies, handcuffs, things of that nature. And then late in the rounds, obviously in a league format like this, where it's very shallow, you're swinging strictly for upside. Like if you miss on every single late round pick, it doesn't kill you one bit. So that's kind of how my late round strategy would look in this type of format. As I mentioned, I'm going to take Caleb Williams here. I waited the turn, obviously, because you guys already had quarterbacks, but I do believe he is a pretty good quarterback option with a lot of upside. I've been really impressed with what I've seen from him so far in the preseason. I've been impressed with what I've seen from him on Hard Knocks. I think he has a chance really to be like one of the first 20 point per game producers as a rookie because he has such great weapons, a lot of great veterans there, and a young rookie in Romo Dunze to help him out. So I feel pretty good about this team. I'll go over mine and then you can rip through yours. Garrett Wilson, Saquon Barkley, Nico Collins, James Cook. I go with kind of like a modified double hero. Again, normally double heroes are like round 1 and 2, you take your running back, or round 2 and 3, you take your running back. But I believe James Cook doesn't belong in the RB dead zone. It's like the one guy that I actually really, really like in that area of the draft. So I go with Barkley and Cook to anchor my running backs. Garrett Wilson, Collins, Rice, and Reed will work into my wide receiver and flex options. Kyle Pitts to anchor my tight end core. Caleb Williams, obviously the weakest point of my roster at quarterback, but I still feel very comfortable that if Caleb Williams hits, he can really hit in a big way and have a big time advantage at quarterback. Because if Caleb Williams is as good this year as, say, CJ Stroud, Joe Burrow, some of these other pocket passers that went way earlier, you're getting inherently a lot of ADP value for having waited on Caleb Williams. In between that range, you draft Rashee Rice and Jaden Reed, who potentially could also hit for me as well.
For sure. And again, like the reason why quarterbacks inherently, like you see Purdy push up the board, obviously you had to take Caleb at the 8-4. The reason why you see that is because the draft is set to 8 rounds. Like in your specific draft, sure, maybe you can wait on the quarterback position inherently. But yeah, just keep that in mind. Like that's the reason why those quarterbacks are going maybe a little even more pushed up than your leagues might have them. Anyway, so going to my pick here at the 12th overall selection, Jahmyr Gibbs, Puka Nacua, like I said, attacking two of those late first players, was able to accomplish that at this 12th overall pick. Two guys in that 2-3 turn area. Again, I got lucky. That could very well be, you know, DK and Devontae Smith or potentially James Cook in there, but I was able to get two guys I view as a tier above. So feel good there. Was able to lock down my onesies there. Shallow starting lineup with a 2 running back, 2 wide receiver, 1 flex half PPR setup. Grabbing Anthony Richardson and George Kittle. George Kittle, especially in a half PPR setup, he's more of a big play tight end. You know, 60-yard, 70-yard bomb, random 130-yard, 2 touchdown performance. That lends itself more in a half PPR format than a full PPR, so feel good there. And then finally, Jonathan Brooks and Brian Thomas getting a ton of upside at this portion of the draft. So, I mean, considering I got one of the worst picks, I really feel good about how this team materialized.
Yeah. And again, just because we don't view 9 to 12 as a good area of the draft to have, if your league mates are dumb and they're going to let you values, like you got players who you value in that 2-3 turn area in the 3-4 turn, then yeah, you could still build a good team. But like we said, we're trying to prepare for the worst case scenario in a way that your league mates are not stupid, so that this video applies to all of you guys listening to this. Because if you guys play in very sharp leagues, then the 9 to 12 range is not going to be very good. But if you guys play in casual leagues, you could still build a very good team from this area of the draft, because your league mates are not going to probably value players appropriately and things of that nature. And of course, understanding the format is very crucial here. Like we said, in a shallow league format, I want a top 8 to 10 drafted quarterback and tight end on my team for the most part, because like you don't have the starting slots to fill out 5 or 6 wide receivers through the first 8 or 9 rounds. Like there's no reason to draft that many wide receivers. Obviously we're still going to take shots at that position because it's a high upside position. But for the most part, I do like to lock down my studs at the onesies in a league format like this. So we're going to pivot to the deeper mock draft. Again, you're going to see us go a little bit more wide receiver heavy in that one, probably fade the onesies a little bit more. So let's get right into it. All right. So we're into the second mock draft. Again, we're going 8 rounds here. This one is a little bit deeper. 1 quarterback, 2 running back, 2 wide receiver, 1 tight end, and 2 flex spots. Also full PPR. So a lot more conducive to a 0 RB, a lot more conducive to going lighter at the running back position. As you guys noticed, we went a little bit heavier at running back than we normally do. These are more the leagues that you and I play in where wide receivers are a little bit more valuable. And that's why we always talk about double hero RB and hero RB and zero RB strategies, is because most of the leagues that we play in don't favor the running back position like the first mock draft that we ended up doing. So I'm going to start the draft here. Again, if you get an obscene value, I'm just going to change it because we're preparing for the worst case scenario. But I will say, if Wilson or AJ falls to you, then like, I'm not going to change that, because there's a good chance that mathematically one of them will, and Garrett Wilson's on the board for you there.
Not only is there a good chance, there's 100% chance, knowing that they are the top 10 players on the board. So yeah, very easy for me. Like you said, I mean, you gave the introduction. Garrett Wilson is going to be a smash pick at the 110, and you're going to be on the clock here at the 111. And I'm curious where you lean, because obviously there are the reports with Gibbs potentially facing some injury. You do have a couple wide receivers on the board, but I am curious how you attack this 11 spot and possibly what you decide to do at 2-2, because like we said, that kind of opens up the early to mid-second tier.
Yeah, for sure. And we didn't actually give the reasoning why we think Garrett Wilson's so great and maybe even potentially on par.
We've done it on the channel before, but...
It's pretty simple. It's like Aaron Rodgers, if he's 80% of Aaron Rodgers' quarterback play, is like 6 times better than anything Garrett Wilson's ever played with in his career. He's like a top 5 wide receiver in NFL history through 2 years at earning targets. And second. He's literally second on that list. And he is an elite separator according to Matt Harmon's reception perception. And Aaron Rodgers, we know, is a kingmaker. Like he will do this for his number one wide receiver. And that's why I think Garrett Wilson's ceiling is higher than Justin Jefferson's this year, because Garrett Wilson has the potential to have 1700 yards and 15 touchdowns, because Aaron Rodgers is like a freaking Strella from Call of Duty back in the day. When he finds his number one dude, he just locks on and he absolutely targets that guy all over the field, including in the red zone. So that's why we're really high on Wilson this year.
And last anecdote with Garrett Wilson, like you said, 90th percentile across the board on Matt Harmon's reception perception. And we're talking about a situation here where it's Garrett Wilson, and there's a lot of targets that have to prove themselves on that Jets offense. I mean, you can make the case right now their second best target in the receiving game is actually pretty solid at the backfield. So if I'm going to compare, you know, a similar case of a top guy to a potential guy that can become similar to that top guy, I mean, I keep making this comparison, but it's CeeDee Lamb and it's Garrett Wilson.
Yeah, exactly. CeeDee Lamb's case last year was not a lot of proven targets, great quarterback. He's going to feed his number one receiver. And that's exactly like, it wouldn't shock me at all if Garrett Wilson was the wide receiver one overall in fantasy, Agreed. Like ahead of some of the other guys that are going way ahead of him. Like, it is definitely possible for him to do that. So I'm on the board here. I am taking Gibbs. Yeah. I do believe that Gibbs is the best available player here. And it's good that we mentioned the doomsday scenario, because that is precisely what I find myself in, because Marvin Harrison and Puka Nacua are my next two ranked players in that exact order that they went off the board. This draft board aside, I think from Garrett Wilson and AJ Brown and Jefferson going higher is almost precisely what I have the board ranked as. So I'm on a position now where I have to basically reach, which really sucks, man. Like, I don't want to have to take my next ranked running back Saquon Barkley this high. I don't want to have to take my next ranked wide receiver Drake London this high, but I pretty much have to at this point in the board. So I'm going to take Drake London since I went with Gibbs in the first round, and I end up grabbing myself an anchor at both positions. Again, in this type of league format, grabbing two running backs to start my draft feels a little bit rich, knowing that I can start up to four wide receivers in a full PPR in every given week. And for those of you guys that don't know, in full PPR formats, you pretty much want wide receivers in your flex like 85, 90% of the time. So typically we want to be like five or six wide receivers through the first 8 to 10 rounds if we have four wide receiver plus that we can start on any given week. So you're up on the board, Danny.
Yeah, and we mentioned wanting to potentially stay balanced in this range because the running back complexion, once you get to the 3-10, once you get to the 4-3, like, there's one name we're probably going to be both fighting over, and it's James Cook. So you don't want to leave yourself in a situation where you're completely unprepared for that area, because we literally talked about the fact that the 3-4 turn area players mostly dominated by wide receivers and tight ends. So with all that being said, I'm kind of just explaining the process for why I'm going to be taking my next rated running back on the board here with Devon Achane. Because it's funny, I mentioned this literal combo when we were talking about the strategy portion of this video, and that, yeah, Garrett Wilson and Devon Achane, it doesn't feel great when you're drafting them, but you can make the case either of them have legitimate top end upside at both the wide receiver and running back position respectively. Because we just mentioned with Garrett Wilson that it wouldn't shock us if he finishes the wide receiver one overall. I can say with certainty, and I'm sure you guys know all offseason from hearing us, Devon Achane, RB1 overall, very plausible as well.
Yeah, again, a lot of people are down on him because he's undersized and he got hurt last year, but we just simply don't see running backs in this great of an offense, this efficient, great receiving profile, great prospect as well. People are overthinking him for sure, and that's why we're really high on him. Again, micro player take-wise, if you would have taken Saquon there, that's totally fine. The strategy still kind of applies.
Yeah, 100%. Saquon, JT, you know, and Kyren. I mean, if you love ETN, I wouldn't fight you on those guys. There's a lot of good running backs. I am so glad I did that, because I was between two names when I was making that pick, for the record. I love Nico Collins as well, but knowing the behavior of this draft room, I thought it was more likely I'd get a receiver I love rather than a running back I love at this point. And looking at the running back board, again, I really like James Cook, but because if I'm thinking of the opportunity bundles of Devon Achane plus this wide receiver I'm about to take versus potentially, again, Nico Collins would have been the receiver I took at the 2-3 plus a guy like James Cook, I would much rather have Devon Achane and this wide receiver. And the wide receiver I'm referencing is Deebo Samuel. Again, I just think he shouldn't be on the board here.
Yeah, that kind of sucks. I really wanted him, to be honest, but we'll take that. No problem. I'm back on the board here again. This is kind of a doomsday spot. And you mentioned like why the 11 hole kind of sucks. And like, it's actually kind of playing out for me because none of the 2-3 turn running backs or wide receivers really outside of Malik Nabers are on the board for me. And I actually, me and you differ a little bit on where Malik Nabers is standing should be. I actually view him a little bit lower than you do. So, for me, I look at this part of the board and I probably am going to go wide receiver because I don't want to be caught behind at this position, but don't love what ended up falling back to me here. So I am going to grab my highest rated wide receiver, which is Malik Nabers or Cooper Kupp. I can't remember which one. I think I'm going to go Kupp here because I believe he is one spot higher than Nabers in my rankings. Nabers fell back to me anyway, so I'll probably just be going with him. I could mix it up because you went Nabers Kupp last time. I could take Metcalf or Smith or somebody like that. I'll mix it up. I'll take Smith just because you took Nabers and Kupp in the last draft, but I probably would have gone Nabers if that was the only fantasy draft I was in this summer.
Yeah, and again, because I have Nabers higher, because I have Metcalf higher, DJ Moore higher, I'll give you guys a different look. We mentioned the name James Cook. Again, I personally would not take James Cook over some of these wide receivers in my own draft, given the scoring format.
And but don't.
For those of you that want to – don't, no? I just wanted to give them a look at what a modified double hero would look like here, no?
Yeah, if you want to, you can. But I think we also want to stick true to our boards to some degree. You actually have Nabers a tier ahead of those guys. Like, I have them at least in the same tier. That's why I didn't go with them.
No, you're right. You're right. I wasn't sure if you guys wanted to see a different look, but you are right. If I had to make these decisions in the draft, I would go with Malik Nabers. But I will say, if somebody chose to go with James Cook here and they wanted to do a modified double hero strategy, I also think that would work very well at that pick too.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess the difference between the two of us there is that I have Smith and Nabers in the same tier and you don't. That's why I went with Smith instead of Nabers. Right. But if you're talking tier breaks just for the purpose of the video, I would say, yeah, definitely just stick to your board there. But, you're back on the clock. I mean, you're going to probably take Kyle Pitts knowing what it fell back to you, but yeah.
You didn't even have to finish the sentence. Yeah, you didn't have to finish the sentence, especially knowing that I'm already strong at wide receiver. I'm already imploring a hero running back build. I feel good about that.
Yeah, and I'm caught in a little bit of a bind here because not only do I have a couple guys that I really like, I actually have two really favorable outcomes here. So I could take T. Higgins here, who is very clearly my highest rated wide receiver. And not only that, but Burrow will fall back to me because I have, like, this guy behind me has Mahomes. Or I could take T. Higgins here, kind of punt the quarterback position later on and take Kittle with my next pick. So I'm going to grab Higgins, and then I think I'm going to go with Burrow, and Kittle actually went, so that actually makes it easier. So we'll go with Joe Burrow, T. Higgins stack. And again, this is a league format that is very conducive to starting with four wide receivers through five rounds, because as we talked about, in a PPR league, you got two wide receivers, two flexes. You want to be starting high-end wide receivers in your flexes, ideally, because as we've talked about on like a million different occasions, avoiding running backs in the dead zone. Also, in that number one draft strategy vid, you want to have like four or five wide receivers through the first 7 to 8 rounds if you can start up to four on any given week. So I feel pretty comfortable with my build, pretty much tight end in my double and my second running back is my only weak portion of my roster right now.
Yeah, 100%. I'm back on the clock here at the 7:10. Again, knowing this is a deeper league format, I would feel comfortable even continuing to punt my running back two slot and really filling it out between the round, potentially at the 8-3, but possibly more so at the round 9 to round 13 area. So I will grab my basically final wide receiver. Again, I want to be one wide receiver to the flex here. I would be able to accomplish that by having five through my first 7 picks. And I will be able to select JSN. Again, a full PPR format. Went with Brian Thomas because it leaned in the half PPR setting last draft. Going to go with more of the target earner here with JSN on an offense that I really believe taking the next step up with Ryan Grubb coming in.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. I am so strong at wide receiver. I would love to take Calvin Ridley here or Ladd McConkey here, but I don't have a tight end yet. Jake Ferguson is available on the board. I'm not going to take him here because this guy is Kittle already. So I'm going to take my other player first. At running back, I think that's where I'm going to go. As I talked about in the strategy portion, I think this is the part of the board where you can start to venture back in if you do build out a hero running back like I did. Obviously, Gibbs is my main running back here. That 7-11 pick or that end of the 7th round pick, I'm totally fine going with your RB2 at that point. I think you've kind of adequately skipped over the dead zone in terms of the wide receiver projections and the quarterback and tight end projections. So I'm caught between a couple guys here. I mean, I could go with the guaranteed touches of Azimir White. I don't think I'm going to go in that direction. We're talking full PPR here. Raheem Mostert, not that great in full PPR. I also just don't believe in Raheem Mostert this year. I'm going to grab Javonte Williams because Javonte Williams, to me, has a really good workload ahead of him. Had like top 15 in weighted opportunities per game last year when he was like not even healthy. Like, I mean, he was the starting running back for the Broncos last year and got a big workload and he wasn't playing well. So if he is playing well this year, I have no doubt in my mind that Sean Payton is going to feed him. I get Jaleel McLaughlin will probably be involved. I get Audric Estime and Samaje Perine might be involved, but I do believe this is Javonte Williams' backfield. At first, it looked a little sketchy coming into the offseason, but we've heard all the right things from the coaching staff and Javonte Williams as well. And then I'm going to take my tight end here with Jake Ferguson, who is very clearly a tier break. I have him in that range with Bowers, with Ingram and Njoku, and he's the last of that group.
Yeah, no, love that pick. I'm going to run to the podium. I mean, it's almost a certainty that if Jonathan Brooks falls to the 8th round, he will be a member of Danny Ladd 21. So I will grab Jonathan Brooks here. And again, you will see the other two quarterbacks go because it is an 8th round draft. But the way I would play this, again, you can make the case potentially taking Jordan Love there. And I think that's fine, especially if you have a Green Bay correlated player. But the way I would approach this is potentially waiting to the 10th round, knowing that you and Team 12 have a quarterback and potentially grabbing like a Jaden Daniels or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. And you also have some good correlated pieces there that are still on the board. Like Tua hasn't gone yet. You drafted A-Chan. Yeah. That's investing in that offense. You could also grab Aaron Rodgers. You took Garrett Wilson in the first round. Brock Purdy just went, but he obviously, when you made your selection, could have fallen back to you as well. And then Geno Smith with with JSN or Kirk Cousins with the Falcons there could have also made some sense there. Yeah, again, I think people, if you're wondering like what is the best strategy to attack like the onesies, if you're worried you're going to fall back behind at wide receiver, at running back, or at tight end for venturing into, you know, the fourth or the fifth round for a quarterback, then don't. Because to be honest, it's a really deep position this year, and I would rather make sure that I'm okay at wide receiver, running back, and tight end in the first 7 to 8 rounds of my draft than I would have an elite quarterback. To me, it's not as big of an advantage as it sometimes can be. Because of how deep the position is. Like I talked about in the last draft, like Caleb Williams to me has a very reasonable case to be just as good as Joe Burrow, just as good as CJ Stroud, just as good as Kyler Murray, Dak Prescott, and Jordan Love from a fantasy perspective this year. You can get him 1, 2, maybe even 3 rounds later than those guys. And the upside for Jaden Daniels, obviously as a rushing quarterback, makes a lot of sense there as well. And I could keep going on and on about all the late round guys. So this is the end of our draft. Again, you mentioned the 11th spot, probably the worst spot to pick from this year. Yeah. I definitely don't like how it started because I missed out on that tier break in the second round. I did not get one of Marvin or Puka falling to me, so I had to go Jahmyr Gibbs, Drake London. I do grab Cooper Kupp, Devontae Smith. Again, would have been ideal if I had Deebo Samuel fall to me or one of those 2-3 turn caliber players like a Jalen Waddle or a Mike Evans or even one of the quarterbacks potentially like Jalen Hurts or Josh Allen would have been nice, or one of the tight ends with Sam Laporta or Travis Kelce. Doesn't happen for me. I have to take Kupp, Smith, and Higgins there in the next couple of picks. Make sure I'm okay at wide receiver. Again, you start up to 4 every week in a full PPR, so I definitely love my wide receiver core. I get Burrow to stack up with T. Higgins. Makes a lot of sense there. Javonte Williams, kind of my guaranteed touches RB2 with some upside too. I say that like Javonte Williams has no upside. Like he obviously was a great prospect. He's now 2 years removed from the ACL tear. And the offense, from what I saw from Bo Nix, might be better than people think. Jake Ferguson has a chance to be a number 2 target for a top 5, top 10 offense in terms of overall pass volume and overall points. So I feel good that he is like Ferguson in terms of tight ends too. Like Ferguson and Joku, Bowers, and Ingram, like they're the last tight end that I want. Roster. I don't want to be worse than them at tight end.
Yeah, exactly. And looking at my team here, was able to start with the Garrett Wilson, Devon Achane, like I mentioned in the strategy portion. Feel comfortable and confident about both their ceilings potentially in fantasy this year. Deebo Samuel, again, it does look like Brandon Ayuk will be a San Francisco 49er going into the season. So you can make the case that Deebo Samuel's ultimate ceiling was most likely with Brandon Ayuk as a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers. But I will say from an efficiency standpoint, from a goal line role potential, again, we've seen Deebo Samuel actually get goal line touches in the rushing game as well. He's just the do-it-all player. And he was actually a guy that averaged over 17 PPR points per game last season, despite having a low 20-ish level target share. So feel good about him there. Malik Nabers, again, a ton of upside there. He's been tearing it up for the Giants the entire offseason, and although the offense is projected the greatest, do feel really good about that. Was able to close off the draft there. Kyle Pitts getting that significant tight end advantage potentially going into the season. Rashee Rice there, obviously, we both believe in him. We talked about it in the last mock draft. Finishing out with JSN, again, a potential hyperactive target earner on what I expect to be a good offense. And Jonathan Brooks, who was the running back one in the class, still went top 50 despite that torn ACL, and despite being placed on the pup list, by all accounts is making good progress on that knee injury. And like I said, he may not be fully Jonathan Brooks back by week 1, week 2, week 3, but as we saw with Breece Hall last year, week 5 on, this was a legitimate 19 point per game running back. So if you're young, if you're athletic, you're much more likely to come back from an ACL tear.
Yeah, and I would say one thing I noticed about your team, and then we can get out of here, is I think you're right on the brink of too many investments into bad offenses. I think this is the absolute brink of where I would push this, because I think the Giants offense won't probably be very good. We have a couple offenses that could fail, like the Jets, like the Falcons, like the Seahawks, and then the Panthers we don't expect to be very good as well. So generally speaking, in terms of offensive investment, I do like to have, you know, of my first 8 picks, 6 or 7 of them invested into really good offenses, probably 4 or 5 definitely good offenses, maybe 1 breakout offense. Like if you look at my team, for example, just on the offenses that I invested in, you have the Lions, you have the Rams, you have the Eagles, you have the Bengals twice, and then you have the Cowboys, and then the Broncos and the Falcons are really the only offenses that I'm kind of projecting a step forward out of. That's just something, and I'll talk about this in the risk ratings video as well when I do that next week. It's something that I like to do in my draft, is like have 6 or 7 of my first 8 players come from really good offenses or offenses we expect to be good.
The one thing I will battle back is when you mentioned Garrett Wilson, because quite frankly, their path to not being a good offense would be Aaron Rodgers getting hurt.
Right. But it's a real risk knowing that he's old coming off of an Achilles tear. That's like, it's the same reason for the Falcons too.
For sure, but that's not the reason why I'm taking him at 10th overall. Right. I'm taking him because,
of course, I'm just saying overall offensive risk of your portfolio, of your team, he has more risk than, say, Devon Achane does in his offense.
Yeah, 100% for sure.
Right. So, again, Hopefully you guys enjoyed this video. Again, 9 to 12, not the most glamorous range of the draft to be picking from. I'm sure you guys know this if you've been doing mock drafts. If you got some value from this video, because I feel like this is the one of the three that we did so far that people need the most help with, leave a like down below. Subscribe to the channel if you're new. If you have any questions, leave them down below as well. We tried to cover all of our bases here when it comes to like shallow ESPN, Yahoo, half PPR type of leagues, and also kind of deeper sleeper kind of full PPR type of formats with four plus wide receivers in that second mock draft. And again, if you guys liked what you heard here and you want access to our draft guide, there's tons of value in there. All of our rankings, our risk ratings, truth series, overall rankings, fantasy news, all that kind of stuff is available in our draft guide. And you can get access to that by hitting the link down below in the pinned comment to either get it one of two ways. You can either sign up on Underdog using code FSE and a first-time deposit of $10. It'll be emailed to you within 24 hours if you do that. If you already have an Underdog account or you can't play where you live, you can head to flockfantasy.com, promo code FSE over there. Tons of tools, tons of available content over there, including the draft guides of all the other creators that we are going to be, as you guys are watching this right now, making content actively with in Austin, Texas. As you guys are watching this on Tuesday, we are in Texas right now making content with all the other creators. We'll be live pretty much all week doing Underdog drafts and pre-recording a bunch of content with them. So going to be a ton of fun. Make sure to check out the site for basically all that information and basically all that stuff. And if you do want to meet up with us, we are doing a meetup on Thursday in Austin at a local bar, and flockfantasy.store is how you can get tickets for that. And that is linked down below in the description of this video as well. So like I said, subscribe if you're new. That being said, peace out. We'll talk to you soon.